WBAI.org or visit our Facebook page at 99.5 FM Radio WBAI Community Advisory Board. Thank you.
Thanks to you.
Thank you.
Thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
WBAI is seeking a special person who wants to help WBAI by volunteering their time to coordinate our volunteer program. This means that you have strong computer skills, well-developed organizational and planning skills, experience with managing people, places, or things, and several days per week that you can be at WBAI during working hours. And then there are the fun parts, like meeting some pretty interesting people. Having a good sense of humor and playing well with others is a definite asset. Please send a letter.
We are volunteers of America!
Yo, this is Michael Franti from Spearhead, and you're listening to non-commercial radio in New York. WBAI is a place to turn to.
Peace. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got a sleeping suicide singing. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got a sleeping genocide singing. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got a sleeping suicide singing. Oh my. My God, oh my God.
Welcome, you're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and this is Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine, and joining me by phone is my co-host, Paulette Spencer. Hello, Paulette.
Hello, Catherine.
So it's good to have you here with me today, even though we're by borough, I guess that's how you would say, Bronx and Brooklyn at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we have some guests in studio today, but I wanted to have a chance to say hello and catch up. And you were telling us last week about an event that you were doing. You were going to do a lecture on health. So take a few moments and tell us how that went.
It went quite well. I delivered a lecture at Fordham University's Rose Hill campus in the Bronx, in the graduate department of International Political Economy and Development. And the topic of my lecture was the political economy of maternal mortality. And we looked at two case studies, and we looked at maternal mortality in Liberia, West Africa, and in the South Bronx. And the lecture was based on the work that I had done to research the phenomenon in Liberia in January 2010. And the last 4 years of my work here in the Bronx, concentrating on women's reproductive health.
Wow. I can't wait to hear it. I know you recorded it, so we're going to be able to expand on that as we go forward, maybe in a week or two. That will be really nice.
Indeed.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking today about New York City's amazing Holistic Health Expo, and I'm really excited about that. And we will be talking about, I guess, a good part of the show about this, and it's going to be a beautiful event at the National Black Theater coming up. That's it, National Black Theater?
Correct.
November 28th and 29th. And as as we make this transition into this conversation, I just wanted to let people know, as far as I am aware, that we very recently, I think it was last night, had shower, a meteor shower, the Leonid meteor shower. Now, I'm not sure if it was last night or if it was if it is tonight, but you could probably find online some video of this beautiful, spectacular show in the sky. I didn't have a chance to see it, but I think it's something that people might enjoy if they can find some video of it. And we're going to be back in just a moment, Paulette, so hang on. And we're going to be introducing our guests. Stay tuned.
Freedom of speech, but we all talking at the same time. We say we want peace, but nobody wants to change their own mind.
And I bet you can guess what the name of that song is. Is Your Love Enough by Michael Franti and Spearhead. And our opening theme is Michelle Indiacello, Earth. And we are back. You're listening to WBAI in New York. I'm Catherine with Paulette, joining me from the Bronx. And in studio at the moment, we have two guests. And I want to welcome you both. And we are being joined by Benjamin Bridges, and he is the coordinator for the Amazing Holistic Health Conference. And we also have joining us Leonard Berg, who is a soul therapist and holistic educator. A little bit later, we're going to be hearing from one of the musicians who's going to be participating in the event. And hopefully we will be joined by Revelyn, a singer and team member of the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. So, Benjamin, why amazing?
Well, I tell you, I believe that, you know, nowadays, even though the internet has all this technical know-how and you can plug in and get information here, there, and everywhere, many people, even though holistic alternative medicine is at their fingertips and able for them to use it. But at the same time, so many people still are not aware of the fact that holistic medicine is at their disposal and they could use it easily. And the thing about it is, what we have that makes so many other fairs and programs different is we have an amazing source of information that can change and heal people's lives.
Well, that's pretty good, I have to say. So the New York City's amazing Holistic Health Expo, and it seems like it's going to be a beautiful event. It's a two-day event, Saturday and Sunday. The 2 days are very different from each other.
Right.
So give us a little sense of what what Saturday will be and what Sunday will be.
Okay. Well, Saturday is basically dedicated totally towards holistic medicine, herbology. We're going to have acupuncturists there. We're going to have chiropractors. We're going to have masseuse there. We're going to have tap therapist there, quite a few different folks with a number of different natural remedies on how to be about getting into healing without all the side effects, you know. And the other side of it is that, being that we're going to be focusing on that, not only are we going to have people offering their services, but we're also going to be having folks talking about these different paths of healing and how they can be incorporated into different people's lives. So that's for the 28th. Now, on Sunday, we're going to be dealing with a whole horse of a different color, And the way that that's a different situation is that anybody that knows anything about holistic medicine, they know that we're not just dealing with the physical, but we're dealing with the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And this aspect is more dealing with the spiritual and the mental aspect, because we're going to be talking about the miraculous power of prayer and meditation and how not only can it heal and elevate and help people as an individual, but it can also help to heal communities. It can help to heal nations. And all we need to do is to actually, as I say, it's going to be like a spiritual unity conference. So we're going to come together, but in united prayer and united meditation, a lot of miraculous and powerful things can happen. Some amazing things can happen.
So that's pretty cool. And we'll go over all of this for people who, at the end, sort of, so they'll remember that they can find this information, and because you have a website.
Yes, we do.
Where people can go and get their tickets and find out more about the event.
Exactly.
And it's NYC Amazing Holistic Health Expo.com.
There you go.
So people can go there. You can go there and find out the details. Again, it's November 28th and 29th at the National Black Theater, and that's 2031 Fifth Avenue between 125th and 126th Street. So that's something that you can take care of as soon as you would like. And so you have a number here. Is this number for people who want to participate in the expo or for, like, tickets and stuff like that?
For both.
For both. Yeah. That number is
914-979-6372.
Okay, say that again.
914-979-6372.
Excellent. So, okay, so we got the details, and then we can go a little bit deeper into the conversation. And so I wanted to invite you, Leonard, to tell us a little bit about what you are doing. It seems to me that you're one of the presenters at the event.
Yes, I am.
A soul therapist and holistic educator. That's pretty amazing itself. So tell us what a soul therapist is.
Well, yes, it's amazing because too often people think that the healing comes from the herb or the healing comes from something physical. But actually, it's the other way around. the healing energy, the essential energy, is perhaps using these things as a vehicle. But we have a source of healing, which is that same source of healing that gives us life. And within ourselves, we have what we call a soul or a spirit, which is the life-giving element within a human being. And it is the source of the healing. And when we look at what's going on in the world today, and people are gnashing their teeth and fretting about how we're going to solve some of the problems, one of the problems is that we think that we're doing the solving. Mm-hmm. We think that we're doing the healing. When what's really necessary is to open up to that divine wisdom, which can guide us as to the things we need to do to heal ourselves and heal the world. So soul therapy is simply a way of getting in touch with the underlying thought processes, emotional complexes, and ideas that are at the root of our physical conditions. Mm-hmm. The idea is that once you get in touch with the root and you uproot it, then it's complementary to other healing modalities. It gets at the causes or the things that perpetuate these conditions. And once you do that, then you get guidance. For instance, to give a concrete example, I work with some holistic healers who are very good at giving a medicine or touch that takes away the pain. But it's like mowing grass. They mow the grass and it grows right back, mm-hmm. because the client may not even do or follow the regimen that they've been given. And part of the reason is because the healing has not gone deep enough. And so what I help to do is to get the person in touch with the ideas and let go of those let go of those ideas and emotions that are perpetuating the condition.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I understand it very well. And you're also, it's that time of morning.
Yes.
You're also a holistic health, like an educator, and,
yes.
and you get to work with people in a way, I think, that is more transformative maybe than some of the other holistic healing modalities. So how do you, what would it look like for a person to come to you who has a problem and you're working on getting to that deeper level?
Well, the difference between this kind of therapy and other kinds of therapy is that we understand that all roads lead to healing, meaning whatever the client brings to me, that's where we start. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that very often you can tell what's going on with a person by what they project. Mm-hmm. So we love it when people come and they're talking about other people and they're being very free with their feelings and thoughts about and opinions about other people. And sometimes it's a sure sign that they're really talking about themselves. So what we do is act as a mirror and help people to see how to take what they're perceiving outside themselves and put it in their inner life and see what it means within their inner life. Mm-hmm. We do the same thing with dreams. A lot of times we are not aware of what's going on, so we need pain, or we have dreams, or we have relationships that try to bring that consciousness to us. And we want to get to the point where we're able to go within and actually access that ourselves in a way that guides us towards doing the right thing, the thing that will take us to the next step of our physical and spiritual health.
Beautiful. And we're also joined by Revlin, who's a singer and team member of the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo.
Yes.
Move into the mic a bit. And tell us a little bit about your participation and involvement in bringing this event together.
Thank you. And it is it's an honor to be here, to be on your show, Kathy. And to be working with my fellow brothers and sisters on this event. because this is something that our community sometimes dances around and doesn't always know how to join. The alternative healing methods that you were just hearing about are very important, because just in terms of physics, two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So if you have a whole lot of stuff or junk in your trunk, in your emotional trunk, and yet you're trying to heal or put something on top of that without removing it, it's really not going to work. You may be able to dance with it for a while, but eventually you're going to trip over that lump in the rug. And so these kind of more, quote, progressive modalities for healing really excite me. I will be there and I will be singing, but I'm participating also because I understand and very much support these methods of healing our community. Particularly, I am concerned about youth, why we think so little of ourselves, what is going to change that that expression that is away from self-love and self-acceptance. And I'm also very concerned about our elders who have been thrown away and ridiculed by the youth and really don't have a space in our community anymore, where we used to sit in a circle and the elders would add their wisdom. Right now, they are made to feel like they have no place. So it is not just a place for youth. It is not just a place for adults. It's a place for our community as we exist right now. And there is something there for everything and everyone. And hopefully the songs that I sing will help to open those hearts. That's why I chose the ones that I did. And we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yes. You know, thinking about the elders, when you're on this planet long enough, you come to know certain truths. And the whole basis of soul-based healing, energy-based healing, is consciousness. There's an old saying, know the truth and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
And what we have experienced is that when you engage a person in therapy where they're able to be aware of what's really going on and be truthful about it, here's what happens. We know that absolute truth is something that may seem to be out of reach, but we have found that when you are truthful, when you're honest about what you're feeling, about what you're thinking, about what you're intuiting, and you're able to express that and be conscious and aware of it, lo and behold, you gain access to certain spiritual energies which then deliver you.
Yes, and also when you feel safe enough to be truthful, when you feel safe enough to come out and say, no, I really never loved my mother until I was an adult, or I was always afraid of my brother because I always thought he was angry. I mean, whatever it is, those things that are in the closet, in our family circles, those things, and they used to laugh at me and call me black and ugly, or they used to tease me and say I was a high yellow bee. You know, all of those hurtful things that we have carried, these scars since slavery, we got to get rid of them because time is quickening, and we don't know what's next. But we need to clean this up so that whatever is next, we can be prepared for it.
And when you're able to see it, mm-hmm. then you experience that I am not it. I am that I am. It is what it is. And so you can let go of it.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to share with you as well is that, and looking at the big picture with this, you know, many times we are very spiritual people, you know. And it just goes beyond just being black. But when you look at the situation or the scenario of prayer and meditation, so many times I've seen how the power of this has changed and transformed people, you know. And that's one of the beautiful things about prayer and meditation, that it has the ability to help people to elevate themselves, especially when you have a group that's praying for the upliftment and the healing of people. So that's one of the reasons why I see spiritual unity as such a divine blessing that can come into a community, where I've seen where, for example, there's a situation where we teach meditation in the schools, you know, and I've seen where we were in a very violent school where there was a lot of fighting in the school just about every day. And one of the problems that occurred with that school was that out of desperation, we got with the kids that were actually dealing with our meditation class. And we said, listen, let's meditate on bringing some peace into the school so all this fighting and negativity can stop. And it took about 2 weeks, but after that 2 weeks of constantly seeing the whole school in a state of, everybody in that school, all the students, in a state of total peace and tranquility, that it actually happened. Now, the funny thing about it, some of those students were in gang members and things, and if you would have pulled them to the side and said, you know, intellectually, we need to have a conversation and talk about the fact that you shouldn't be involved in all this violence, they would have probably just told you off, right? Mm-hmm. But because you were dealing from their higher self, and that energy was actually translating to their higher self that wants to, you know, cooperate, it was able to put them in that tranquil space, which actually brought them to a place where there was no more fighting in the school. So
that is a beautiful story. Mm. What is it? What is the organization that you work with that actually teaches meditation?
It's called IQ Meditation. Mm-hmm. IQ Meditation is basically for the schools and for students and for adults as well. But basically, it helps you to get better grades because you get your concentration together, you get more focused. And when you can get rid of the stress and the anger that many times really causes a lot of confusion in people's lives, once that is dissipated and disappears, it gives you an opportunity to really get focused on the things that you need to do. And one of the things that students need to do in school is really get focused on the work that they're doing.
What city are you working in?
We're in good old Mount Vernon. They call it money-earning Mount Vernon.
I have a lot of friends in Mount Vernon.
Oh, okay,
some
great.
Of my Qigong students actually travel to Brooklyn.
Oh, okay,
from Mount
wonderful.
Vernon. So I know there's a lot of spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
For you to connect with.
Hey, there you go.
Well, before we make another round, I just want to say, ask Paulette if you have a thought you wanted to share in this conversation.
Well, I'm heartened to hear about the work that you're doing at the schools. I think that is so extremely important, and if there's any way to sort of expand your work maybe further into the Bronx, I think that would be a wonderful thing. I mean, of course, I'm talking about schools all over the city, but I think meditation in the schools is a much, much needed activity for students and teachers alike.
Great. That's so true. And Revelyn, you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to add something to what Mahesh was saying, which is that once the focus and the discipline of meditation is accessed by the students, it begins to open up other spiritual powers that we have, mm-hmm. That we all have, and that we use and sometimes not even consciously, like what happens with prayer. And without being too specific because of the work that we did, I would like to share something else that Mahesh worked with students. I worked with some adults to try to rectify a situation across the waters in Africa where a lot of people had been killed and by a particular group of people, and we just sent them love. And on a particular morning, and the night before, people raided their camp and broke up, and a lot of the people that were being tortured and held captive escaped. And like I say, we can't say that it was because of what we were doing, but we cannot also say it wasn't because it hasn't happened since. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that, you know, once you understand who you are, as you begin to understand who you are as a human being, and all these things that you have access to that you had been taught that you were powerless to do anything about, you'll find out that that's not true. You know, we can do and be almost anything that we want to. We just have to understand and be committed to the formula that gets us there, and certainly meditation and prayer and sending energy are things that we can use right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'd like to just say a word about the relationship between prayer and meditation. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Pray, therefore, believing that that which you pray for, you already have." And this is a great secret to prayer, which is being thankful. And then once you're being thankful, then you can be still, meaning that you can wait for your answer. The essence of meditation is actually to stop the mind, to get beyond the mind into the spiritual realms of consciousness. And once you do that, you receive what we call divine revelations. These divine revelations guide you to right action. Some people think meditation is some kind of escape. But no, meditation is really getting your divine instructions, getting your divine guidance. But in order to do that, you have to lose your mind.
And that is wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And one of the things, my wife and I, we have a conference going on right now. It's called Stop the Violence Youth Conference, and it's in 6 schools in the Mount Vernon area. And we had a beautiful meditation program today in one of the schools with some of the students. And, you know, we just did a guided meditation with them and brought them into a space where they saw themselves in a stadium, you know, right down there in good old mid-Manhattan. You know, the big stadium that we have that holds about 50,000 people, you know, and in the garden there. But basically, I was telling them, each of them, that I wanted you to see yourself in that stadium, see your mom up on the platform there with you, with tears all in her eyes because she's so proud and happy of you, you know, to see that you have achieved such great success. And here comes the mayor of New York City with a plaque getting ready to give you an award for the great things that you've done to give back to the community. And I said, don't you feel how great a feeling that is? Don't you know that this doesn't have to be just a vision of what you can do, but it's a reality of what is? See yourself as pulling that greatness, that seed of greatness that's there out of you, and actually let it become a reality for your future and for your present. And after the meditation, they were like, wow, you know, it was the first time I did that with these students, you know, so it was really an interesting experience because they really enjoyed the process. But these are things that we need to do with our youth so that they can see the light at the end of the tunnel and see their full potential. And meditation helps to open doors that allows youth and adults to actually see the greatness that's there. And just instead of saying, well, I can't really do that, or I'm not worthy, or just banish all that negativity, all those fears and doubts, and allow your dreams, your goals to become a reality in your life by seeing it, believing it, and achieving it.
There's a great author by the name of Neville. He wrote a book called Resurrection. And in the book, he emphasizes that if you're able to, in this moment, imagine how you would feel were your goal to be already achieved, you've actually set in motion that magnet which attracts that result to you. Mm. And the other side of that is that when you're thinking about other people, especially, let's say, people who you're in conflict with, you actually help yourself more by thinking positive of them than negative. Because when you send out negative energy, it comes back to you tenfold. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have anything good to think about them, send them, as the sister said, send them some light, send them some love, and imagine them doing the right thing rather than focusing on them doing the wrong thing.
Very powerful. So let's remind people that we are here to let them know about the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And the more I talk to you, I'm beginning to see why it's Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And it's going to be not this weekend, but the following weekend, correct, November 28th and 29th. And it is at the National Black Theater, 2031 Fifth Avenue, between 125th and 126th Streets in Manhattan in New York. And you can get your tickets online at nycamazingholistichealthexpo.com. You can also call for more information. The number is 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372. And we're not allowed to give dollar figures here on the radio, but it's reasonable. And there's, like, for kids, it's most reasonable, I would say. So I think everybody who wants to can participate. And there may be some practitioners out there who want to participate as well. And you can call that same number if you want to connect to this community. I myself would love to connect. So it's 914-979-6372. And I'm going to play a little music. I'm not sure if I found the right music. But before we go into the music, I just want to welcome back in Paulette as we're going to make a little transition to reach out to our artist on the West Coast. And I wanted to make sure you wanted to, if you had a word to say before we made that transition.
No, I'm fine and happy to be part of the discussion. But.
All right. So we will be back in a few moments. We're going to play Rata Borofasina, and the piece that I found is Prima Mudita. So hopefully that will do, and we'll try to get her on the phone. So, and then we'll call you back afterwards, Paulette.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Okay. It's always something. Let's see if I can figure out why this is not playing. Okay, let's try it again. It's playing. Ah, wrong slide. So easy to figure these things out. Thank you. And that was an excerpt, actually, of a very long and beautiful piece. And you can find more of this online. And for those of you who want to connect with this beautiful music. But for the moment, I would like to welcome and say hello to our guest joining us at this moment, the beautiful singer and creator of that piece, Radha Bhattacharya. Hello and welcome to Heart of Mind.
Thank you so much.
Speak up, please.
Thank you so much.
Oh, there you are. Hi. So that was amazing, an amazing piece of music. Tell us something about the history of this music and the spiritual work that you're doing through it, through the music.
Well, that particular piece of that song, Prema Mudita Manasi Kal, it's a song that was, it's from India, and it's actually in Sanskrit. And the form of singing is called bhajan singing. The late, great Alice Coltrane developed a type of bhajan singing in this country that had never been heard before, because her roots were, of course, in the Christian and in the gospel music coming out of Detroit. And she was a church organist and pianist throughout all of her teenagehood, playing there for the churches. So when she began to play this Indian music, the bhajans, she would also did it with the flavor of the gospel roots. You could hear it. And when she started teaching it to different people, myself included, she encouraged us to sing it the way we would sing it, not to try to imitate a sound from India, but just to sing it from our hearts. And she explained to us that even if we didn't understand the words, that our soul, it was like still a seed that was being watered inside of our soul, and that our soul understood it and resonated. So prema is like divine love. And by bringing this music, this particular album that it came from, which was Songs of the Eternal Soul, we were paying homage to Alice Coltrane's way that she taught us for how to chant like this. And we just wanted to play it in extended forms, because that's the way she used to play it. When we would be chanting with her, it might go on for 2 hours, because she would just take it all over the universe and back again. So in our own small way, we were trying to do that, and I was also incorporating the harp with that, because she was the one who told me to play the harp, and she gave me one of her harps. And so you'll hear harp parts that I'm playing back there as well.
Well, this is, it's really incredibly beautiful music, and I understand that you are going to be participating in this wonderful event, the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. You'll be performing there.
Absolutely.
Well, that is so amazing. So we're in studio right now with Benjamin Bridges, or Mahesh, Leonard Berg, and Revelin as well. And so I'm going to open up the mic so we can interact a bit.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Radna, I have not met you, but I just wanted to tell you that when my daughter was born, she was born at home. There were two midwives there, and I insisted that we play Alice Coltrane during the whole delivery, which I did. I also have been out to the ashram there, and I remember walking in and hearing the people there chanting, the brothers and sisters. And I was just like blown away, because I said to myself, it's almost like you can feel us being in a cotton field, but elevated. And if we could have been singing this music in the cotton field, we wouldn't have been there very long, because it was freeing. The voices were just so rich and deep, and they were, you know, it was the chants, because I had, you know, been in places where they normally do the chanting in a normal way, but the richness of the sounds that came from that moment I will never forget. So I'm so glad that we are meeting this way. It's very, very beautiful.
You know, yes, and to that, I just wanted to make something that I learned at her feet, at Swamini Alice Coltrane's feet, was that she would always include one of the African American spirituals, and in most of her recordings, she would always play at least one spiritual. And as one day I had the privilege of sitting in the studio with her for hours as she mixed a song called "Every Time I Feel the Spirit Moving in My Heart, I Will Pray." And I kept saying to myself, why am I being allowed to sit here for like 4 hours listening to this mix? And then many, many years later, I realized the importance of those African American spirituals, because they were not written, they were of the spirit, and they were the spirit that carried the people through those 256 years of incarceration. It was the music that was a hybrid of the language and the pentatonic scales that came out of Africa and what they heard over here in the Western scale. And but they translated it to something higher so that they could make those songs flung up to heaven. And so all that's combined to even go even higher when you're hearing the budgeons, the names of the Lord on top of that. And it's like, it doesn't get much better than that.
I'm glad you mentioned the heavens, because even people should know that another name for Alice Coltrane was Swami Turiya-Sangitananda, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
And in Sanskrit, the Turiya is the dream state, a state wherein you can gain divine revelations in the dream state. And when you listen to that kind of music, it puts you in that same place beyond the physical where you go when you're in the dream state. Well, that's one thing I wanted to mention. Another thing is that there have been experiments done with water where you take a picture of water when people are projecting loving, kind thoughts, and the crystalline structure is beautiful and symmetrical. That same water, when the thoughts are negative and evil, the crystalline structure is all crooked. Now, we know that the human being is 67% water. The world is 67% water. So we know that your thoughts and emotions impact the water. Now, what are we? We're water and we're earth. There's a book called The Secret Life of Plants, which proved that the energy and the vibrations around the plants dictate whether it grows or not. Our bodies are made up of plants. So what I'd like to summarize this with is this. We're not saying that merely meditating and the way of thinking is going to, for instance, stop terrorism. But we need to understand that our problem is a lot of times we're looking for solutions and actions, but we're not doing it with divine wisdom. And so through prayer, through meditation, through this type of music, through positive thinking, you get the kinds of insights to produce the kind of action that will bring about a solution to the problems of the world.
Absolutely, and all day long I've been resonating with this phrase that the pen is mightier than the sword, and that's just on one level. But what you're saying is 100% correct, because this is called Kali Yuga, according to Eastern philosophy. This is the age of ignorance. But the prescription for the age is just to chant. Chant the names of the Lord and just keep it going. And a form of that chanting also was here in this culture of African-American folk, the diaspora. You know how they would say the name of Jesus and just keep on going, and they would just go into ecstatic states. So it's that there's power in the names, the holy names, and what that represents within ourselves. I'm 100% agreeing with everything, because it's all positive, and to think so many great people are on the line right now, all wishing for the same thing. I know that's what Mahesh Benyamin is bringing to this event that's going to happen on the 28th and 29th. It's bringing that consciousness thing that we can all grab that and go back to that dignity that the old people always spoke about, because we are a dignified culture, and we need to just bring that. And we are a devoted culture, devoted to God in our hearts, so we just need to rekindle that all over.
Well said, Radha. And I believe that, you know, when you're talking about the tools that God has given us to elevate ourselves to a higher level, to that God-conscious level. Because even, I mean, if you look at Jesus, you know, he even said, the things I do, you can do and more. So the power of that God self is lying dormant in so many of us. It just needs, that button just needs to be pushed. Power of prayer can push that button. The power of meditation can push it. And the other thing that, as you said, Swamini used to bring that message so many times through her music, such a powerful, powerful message, because the power of music is another tool that can really awaken that inner consciousness of an individual or a group of people if they actually use it on a regular basis. So we need to start to tap into some of these different forms of spiritual upliftment for ourselves, for our people, and for the world, because these are things that can take us to a whole nother level. I mean, we see what greed, we see what hatred, we see what anger can do, and why the world is in such a state of confusion right now. But imagine if we got it on the flip side, where we actually focused on divine love, where God's pure love could rule the day. And this can come about through the tools that we're talking about using.
Just one quick thing about the soul. The reason why I call what I do soul therapy is because, and this is for the young people who may be listening or hear this, you take your first course of psychology. They tell you that psychology comes from the root word psych, which is a study of the mind and behavior. But lo and behold, when you do your research, you see that the word psych, the root etymology of it is soul or spirit. So you cannot take the soul and the spirit out of psychology. And the reason that it's not as effective as it could be is that very fact that there are those who don't know how to take, to include the divine without getting hung up in sectarian religion. So the soul, psychology should be a process of getting in touch with the soul, and not just some kind of mental, intellectual thing.
I just wanted to say one thing, getting back to the music for a minute, and actually getting back to sound, because I remember when I was about 14, I went on my first demonstration in Baltimore, Maryland, to integrate a restaurant down there, and as we walked around, we were singing. We were singing, maybe Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Round or something like that. And I started walking, and I must have walked for 4 hours. I would not give up my picket sign. I had no, at any point was I ever tired. It was almost like the music just took me. It carried me. It was on point with my mission, and I was on point with its mission. Nobody was going to turn me around. So that is how, in a way, our music is used. That is what I heard when I went to Alice Coltrane's ashram. And I just wanted to say something really quickly. On New Year's Eve, this year, we did it last year on a smaller scale. We're doing a countdown. So there's a 10-second countdown before you say Happy New Year. But as you go down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, we're asking people to yell peace for 2 seconds, and then 4, 3, on, and then 2, 1, earth. So you're saying peace on earth, and then you can say Happy New Year. And we are going to try to do that so as many people all over the world in whatever language they speak can be on point and help to shift the vibration away from terror and hatred, which are just a tactic, you know, as far as I can tell, to get to the resources. So we're pitted against each other, but to get beyond that and get to a state of peace. So it's peace on earth, and you'll hear a lot more about that too.
Radha mentioned bhajans, and I should mention that from the East, they say it's from the East, but actually, no, the East is really not a direction. The East is where the sun rises. It symbolizes the third eye, where the light of enlightenment rises when you go into higher states of meditation. And when you go into higher states of meditation, you also experience the inner bhajan, meaning the celestial music begins to play. And this celestial music is like the Pied Piper. It draws the soul upward and also brings about an experience of that divine nectar that you get from within.
You know what you're just saying? It's very interesting because I was just in Dominican Republic in August playing a concert of my music and with some of the members of the National Symphony Orchestra there, and they're very classically trained and all that kind of stuff. I'm not a classical harpist at all. But because when the harp was first given to me by Swamini Alice Coltrane, she told me that I wouldn't need to take lessons. She gave me a book of exercises in Italian, so you could only read the notes, not whatever it said in there. And what began to happen over the years, especially after she left, there was this transmission that it would take me to a certain part where I would just start getting shortness of breath, and tears would stream down my eyes. And this has continued to this day, and the same thing happened in the Dominican Republic. The four classical players thought I was having an asthma attack until they realized that there's just nothing that could be done. This is just something that happens spontaneously. And that's the whole transcending thing that you're speaking about. God, meaning not a Brahma. God is sound, as that sacred word that was creation, and they say like Om was one of the creative pranamas, the words. So we all are agreeing, and all we want to do is make everybody else aware of it.
Very beautiful, very beautiful. And we're getting close to the bottom side of our program, so I just want to remind people that we're talking about the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo. And if you're inspired by this conversation, perhaps you should be there. And it is November 28th and 29th at the National Black Theater, 2031 Fifth Avenue, between 125th and 126th Streets. And let's see. Is there a time of day that I'm missing? Yeah, Saturday the 28th is 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. Sunday the 29th is 3 p.m. till 7 p.m. Again, that's not this weekend, but the following weekend, November 28th and 29th. And for information, you can call 914-979-6372. Again, that number is 914-979-6372. And that's if you want information, you want to ask about the tickets, if you want to be a merchant or a vendor, any of those things, you call that number. Or you can go to NYC Amazing Holistic Health Expo.com. And so let's go through everyone at least once more and see if you have what you wanted to share as we reach for the close. Yes, go ahead, Maj.
All right. Well, basically, I just want to tell people just to share this message with them that definitely both days for the Amazing Holistic Health Expo is something that, you know, they should definitely come and try to experience with us, because it's going to be something that's going to be very uplifting, very spiritually healing, and very physically healing as well. So you're going to get the full gist of what holistic health is about, because it's not just a physical scenario. It's something that's physical, mental, and spiritual, and it's going to be a great blessing for whoever comes. So I'm hoping that people can really be inspired and come and join us on those 2 days.
Beautiful.
Yes, I would like to just thank you, Kathy, and Benjamin, and Rivelin, for being here together, and also Radha for sharing this wonderful energy. And I just want to emphasize to our listeners, Radha was speaking about the names of God. And a very effective and simple way to meditate is to, whatever names of God are meaningful to you, sit in a quiet posture with your attention straight ahead in the darkness, feeling your spine absolutely still. And with lovingness and sincerity, just repeat those names, those holy names that are meaningful to you. In higher states of meditation, you may be given a name, but this is a natural process which you can engage in immediately. and you will see the results.
Reverend?
Yes, I want to also thank you, Kathy, very much, and my honored mates here. Just to say that there is a place for everyone in our community at this table, this holistic, amazing, holistic health fair. There's a place for you because no matter what age you are, no matter what your experience is, don't be afraid if you've never meditated or even if you've tried and you don't think that you've gotten there. You may be meditating more than you think. It doesn't have to look all the same way. But it is a gift we have as human beings. And as someone here said, our spirituality was given to us. We have it. And I'm just imploring us all to use it for our betterment so that we can make our community healthy once again.
Radha, do you want to have a final share?
Well, I want everyone to come. I will be playing harp there, and I will also be performing with my son, Surya Bonifacino, on piano, and Joe Black on drums, and just some really great musicians. And what we're going to do is invite people to chant along with us. Very simple. And as the energy goes up in the room, it only goes up as the people's voices go up. So we're going to just ask them to celebrate in the space that Barbara Antier envisioned so many years ago and has successfully moved forward so that the community can have such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place to gather. So please come.
Excellent. I'm really grateful to all of you for being here today. Have we left anything out? Does anyone want to leave a phone number or an email? Do you want to leave a connection, Leonard?
Yes, for those who are more interested in experiencing soul therapy, you can call 347-989-4147. That's 347-989-4147. That's a text or a call.
Okay.
Yes, and likewise, I would like to first say, Kathy, I really do appreciate you allowing us to come on to the show to share with people the information that we have here with the Holistic Health Expo, and also any of our listeners, again, that are interested in joining us and becoming a part of the program on those 2 days. They can also call if they have any questions, or if you are a vendor as well and you would like to be play a part as well, then no problem. You could call 914-979-6372.
Okay. Very good. All right. And Radha, do you have a website or info?
Yes, I do. Go ahead. My website is Shaila Music, shailamusic.com, and they'll find everything about me. I'm on CD Baby. I'm all over the place. And also, Mahesh, you didn't mention that there's a Facebook page also for the New York City Amazing Holistic Health Expo, and I want everybody to go over there and just click it on, say that you like it, and tell your friends about it.
Well, that's cool. I'll do that. I have a Facebook page as well, so we can make that connection. So I'm going to say thank you, and I'm going to go back to the piece, Prema Mudita, by Radha, and hopefully you'll be back again sometime soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org. I'm Catherine, and I am being rejoined by my partner and co-host in this show, Paulette Spencer. Hello, Paulette. What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
Very beautiful music and a very beautiful concept. And I think it's important to have this, I guess, this healing activity for the community, for communities. I should use the plural. And it's something that I think that we, as a population here in New York, with all of our sort of bustling schedules and various obligations and responsibilities, I think it's a very welcome thing to have such a beautiful, beautifully thought out venue where people can come and relax and relax their minds and listen to very beautiful, relaxing music, healing music.
I agree. It seems like it will be a most rewarding experience for those people who choose to participate. So I'm actually looking very much forward to it as well. And again, for people who didn't write it down, now is your chance. New York City's Amazing Holistic Health Expo, National Black Theater, 2031 Fifth Avenue, between 125th and 126th Streets. That's November 28th and 29th, and I guess that comes after all the gorging on food, so people will have an opportunity to cleanse themselves and learn how to be healthy again.
Yeah.
So it's Saturday the 28th, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m., Sunday the 29th, 3 p.m. till 7 p.m. For information, call 914-979-6372 or go to the website, New NYC Amazing Holistic Health Expo.com. Beautiful. And so we're just about to close out. We will be back again next week, and I'm hoping to have some people in next week who can talk to us about the Dogon people. A lot of people think that the Dogons have disappeared, but no, they're alive and well and living in Brooklyn. So we're going to hopefully have them on, and we'll be talking about that. That ancestral spiritual awakening into the culture. And, you know, a lot of people listen to this and these kinds of information and they think, oh, is that only a black thing? Well, no, it's a human people thing. And I think it's time for all people to understand that black people are leaders and healers and loving of the human race, and we can be there for you despite your race. Thank you all. Yeah, so we're going to go to a little bit more music and make the transition for the next show. And again, I want to thank my guests. And so long, Paulette. See you next week.
So long. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Worry, Mother. It'll be all right. Don't worry, sister, say your prayers and sleep tight. And it'll be fine, lover of mine, it'll be just fine. And lend your voices to be free from, feel lies with love and bravery, and you shall lead a life uncommon. I've heard your anguish, I've heard your heart's cry out, out of the way. There is a new army coming, and we are armed with faith. To live. Love.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a often weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and, yes, the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. He was with us for the first book. Well, he's with us for the second. Rajan Khanna will be joining us. You gotta stay tuned. Good morning. I'm going to rearrange things so I can see my guests. There we are. Hope you all enjoyed that, those of you who are watching on your radios. And again, good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf. We do not have a movie review this week. Dan Persons is taking another week off for various reasons. Should be back soon. And let's see, announcements. Yeah, turn your Wayback Machine, like, you know, 8 hours ago, and you would have heard Robert Levy and Kathy Koja at the KGB Fantastic Fiction Reading Series. But I did dutifully announce them last week. So the next thing to point out is the New York Review of Science Fiction Reading Series in the very building, about 40 feet below us. There are fortunately floors between. But at the Brooklyn Commons, 388 Atlantic Avenue, and it's December. And that means that we only have couples, families performing. That's been a tradition with us for about 11 or 12 years. And the family of choice is, as always, Ellen Kushner and Delia Sherman, who are coincidentally two of the niftier, better writers about, and always come up with wonderful surprises for the December reading. 2 years ago, a complete audiobook performed from sections of the Riverside series under the Neil Gaiman Presents umbrella. And we had some real audiobook stars at that event. And then last year, which was actually... was that our first event here, 388 Atlantic? It might have been. No, we had Walter Mosley 3 months before that. And then we had Ellen and Delia. And whereupon, right after Delia read a story, Ellen decided that people had to do some round singing because it was mentioned in Delia's book, which is, by the way, just out. And she'll tell you more about that in a couple of weeks. December 8th at 388 Atlantic Avenue. Admission is free. And hope that you will join us. And we have a guest host who wishes to remain nameless. And so she shall. Spoiler. But no, it's not a secret or anything. There are some people who, professional reasons, they have real lives out there, don't want it to be known that they do this science fiction stuff. So let's see. There's that announcement Friday, starting Friday, on Amazon Prime, the entire first season of The Man in the High Castle, which, Raj, did you see episode one?
I haven't, actually. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Whoops. Hold on. For some reason, do me a favor. Tap your microphone. No, that's not doing it. No. Try it again. Ah, ha, ha, ha. It's just this little chromium switch here. Apparently, I have to press a button down on the console, which there's no manual for this room. None whatsoever. Other than there's a sign outside the door that says, be quiet, because there's no soundproofing as well. And that is the current.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah, very much so. And I would say state of WBAI, but it's really more a small municipality, even if we do broadcast at 50,000 watts. But, I was very pleased to see that they did not try to simply bring Philip K. Dick to the screen. And yeah, it's produced or co-produced by Ridley Scott. And unlike some people who Raj knows, I am not a big Blade Runner fan. Precisely for the reason that, well, I not only far prefer the book, but the movie totally contradicts the book in a number of ways. Blade Runner and Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep use the same character names, and they conflict, and they even conflict within the bounds of the movie, but that's another show, another time, and I've done at least two shows on that topic with Matt.
Right.
And with Edward Einhorn, who did a very good a theatrical adaptation of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, and so it was a really fun show to have Matt Kressel, who lives and breathes Blade Runner. I figured out why. Why is Blade Runner his favorite movie and 2001 mine? Is because we were each 12 years old when we saw it.
Huh.
How's that for a theory?
That's interesting. Now I'm trying to think.
I have to pose that to Matt. I haven't. Yeah.
I wonder what I saw when I was 12. I can't think of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I saw a few movies, so I'd have to figure out.
Yeah, but an iconic science fiction film that would have been the one to possibly turn you. And I think that might have been it, because I was certainly either 12 or 13 when I saw 2001 in Cinerama.
Wow. That's an amazing movie.
And, I still, you know, put it all the way up there. Blade Runner is beautiful.
Sure.
Beautiful. But its plot, well, you can hear the sirens are coming right now. So Ridley Scott co-produces The Man in the High Castle, and I thought that the pilot was very good, and it had, like Blade Runner, had nothing to do with Android's Dream of Electric Sheep. This TV series has little to do so far with The Man in the High Castle, except that it takes place in the same universe.
Hmm.
But the characters are different.
Interesting.
And Man in the High Castle, I do not think, is the best Philip K. Dick book. But I think it's one of the best alternate history novels ever written. And it's a good Philip K. Dick book. So taking the universe and setting a TV series in that alternate universe that Dick built, that's shrewd.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of commonality between them. So it opens, everybody's saying, wait a minute, the last episode was 10 months ago, and now there's the next, and it's like, yes, that one was called The Pilot. And in today's world of streaming, and I'm shocked at how many people on social media like Facebook don't get it, every episode will be available this Friday, you know, so you can binge watch or something. I usually do, like, you know, an episode every second night or something like that. I like doing it. I don't like binging, although, okay, except for two-parters.
Right.
So
that is an interesting thing, because it used to be two-parters. You'd have to wait for a week, but now usually you can see it, like, right after.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Doctor Who, which is almost all two-parters, this year, with last week's episode being the only one this season that wasn't part of a two-parter. And then it goes right back to it. And by the way, I don't know if people caught it, but the episode before last, the second two-parter, the inversion of the Zygons, first was Invasion of the Zygons, and inversion, was one of the best episodes. There was an anti-war speech made by Peter Capaldi, playing the Doctor in there, that is just magnificent. Go to YouTube and look it up, because everybody has excerpted it and putting French symbols around it and stuff like that, because it is horribly prescient. So let's see. Any other announcements do I have to make? Probably, yes. What I thought was the best science fiction TV series of this year, Mr. Robot, is having a marathon coming up, and check your schedules, and it's probably available on demand. So this is like this small little thing that came out of USA Network, you know, in between like Desperate Kardashians or some and stuff like that. And it's really, really good. And don't read articles about it, because they're filled with spoilers. Just go into it blind and watch it through. And by the end, by the last episode, and it's 13 episodes long, it's amazing. And they're coming back for a season 2, which they had planned. And where that's going to go will be interesting, because I will tell you this one thing. At the 13th episode of season 1, the entire world changes. So have you seen any of that?
I haven't. I'm so behind. I mean, I've heard great things about that and a few other shows. And I mean, I feel like every time I sit down to watch something, I watch a television show more than a movie. You know, like I'll punch up Netflix or something like that. But I think with writing the book, I got so behind. So I'm still catching up on things. And I have a job, yeah.
Little things like that. And you occasionally do radio shows at 1:30 in the morning.
But yeah, that's on my list.